Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. Gabriella Embon, such a pleasure to have you on today. How's everything going?
Very good, Sandy. So happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. So for the audience, Gabriella is a life engineering coach. I love that twist. And you're the author of Becoming a Power Couple. Woo! That's a big title there, right? I love it. And I loved just like when I decide to have a guest on, there's a lot of things that go into it. And you just have a lot of your background that just really spoke to me and really resonated. And I'd love to hear how you got to where you are today. Like, tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I've been a coach for the last two decades, but my journey into coaching couples wasn't something I initially set out to do, obviously. It evolved naturally from my own experience, my story. You know, I started my career as a chemical engineer, as you saw. And as an engineer, I truly learned the art of problem solving, system optimization, and precision and investing. More importantly, having a vision and then committing to make it better over time, course correcting, make it better, and then, you know, analyze and make it better. But over time, I realized that, in fact, the most complex and rewarding system aren't just found in labs or production lines. They exist in our relationships. Yeah. So after coaching individuals on personal development, career fulfillment, I noticed a pattern. People could achieve great success in their careers, but without a strong, thriving relationship, something always felt incomplete. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have somebody to share the success with, it's not the same. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that relationships are the foundation of our lives, influencing everything from our happiness to our professional success. And that's what led me to develop the life engineering framework, and then more specifically, the four pillars to engineer a legendary marriage. I wanted to take the same principles that make businesses and careers successful, you know, strategy, intention, alignment, and apply them to relationships. So that's how, coaching couples became pretty much my calling, because I believe that when two people come together with commitment, clarity, with the right tools, they don't just make their marriage work, they make it legendary.
Oh, I love that. And yeah, I mean, most of the couples that I know that are still together after a few decades, because I feel like there's that 20-year mark where a lot of people, you know, it's like they say 7 years, maybe it's 10, and then you get to, you know, those milestones and it's hard to keep it going. And as somebody, you know, I had a 21-year marriage. My first marriage was 21 years. Met my current husband a month after I was divorced. My divorce was final. And he had been married for 20 years as well. And so I feel like we've come together. And what makes us such a great power couple, to use your phrase, is our communication. And I feel like that's the thing that most couples lack, is that honest, safe communication. Because many times, you know, like my ex-husband and I, we're good friends. We're great parents to our son. We're like brother and sister. And I never really felt safe, like expressing myself, you know? Yeah. What is your experience in that been?
Well, what you just shared is actually pretty common, not to feel safe. You know, the ultimate purpose of the relationship is to create unity. Okay? And we create that unity building a bond of trust. So trust and safety are key in order to feel that you want to be one with somebody. You wouldn't give yourself if you don't feel safe and trust. And I think it all starts with understanding that when you get married or you commit to a long-term relationship, you start walking a journey of connection. And that connection is not a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. It's actually a never-ending quest that the more you walk through it, the deeper you connect, the more you rekindle the love. And communication is key to feel connected. You cannot connect if you don't communicate. And the more we connect, the more we communicate, the more we build that bond of trust. So it's a beautiful cycle to be in. Now, when we don't feel safe to communicate, I think the first thing we want to do is look inside, own that lack of safety, and ask ourselves, that's the me pillar, where is this coming from? Before I go and blame and say it's you, is really own that inability for me to feel safe in the current circumstances. What is it about this relationship that doesn't make me feel safe? Where is that coming from? So I think we need to own this, then resolve it within or vertically between you and your creator. And then we can expect to bring it and bridge that awareness with your partner.
I love that. And I wrote down self-love, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're going to go within, it's all about loving yourself. What do you do when you have a couple where, you know, I'm not going to blame this totally on men, but let's be honest. Women are more apt to be open to do the work that needs to be done on themselves, more so than men, right? I mean, men are just, they're still hunter-gatherers. They just want to protect, you know, their egos are, you know, driven by their masculinity and their testosterone levels and all that stuff. You know, it's hard to find a man that can actually be like, oh yeah, I need to work on myself, because they're just like, well, why? Like they, you know, I'm doing everything I need to be doing to provide for this family, to do all of these things. I check all the boxes. So, you know, so how do you convince somebody that they need to look within and work on that?
What a wonderful question you are asking me, because it's a very common question, actually. So I want to start by saying that women don't need men to work on themselves. In that, women are self-sufficient. In fact, if we look at working on ourselves as part of, you know, doing the work we came in this life to do, doing our soul correction and all the that package, women don't need men for that. Mm-hmm. The opposite is not the same. Men do need women to do their self-work. So what do you do when you feel like, okay, I'm doing my work or I'm committed, but my spouse is not willing to look inside? You start with yourself, because you don't need him. You do your work. You change yourself. You work on your own wounds. And then as you're doing that, without realizing, you are going to become the incentive eventually for your partner to join you. Because now you're going to become more accepting. You're not going to come from a place of wanting to change him or demanding from him. You're going to come from a loving place. And as soon as you come from that loving place, then the man will say, okay, maybe I should look into this.
You would hope. That's what we want.
And
we
want not to able look at that. Yeah. So if it's still, you're not reaching that point, it means that you need, if you're not reaching that point, that you can come from a very loving, compassionate place. You know, people say, I have evolved spiritually, I can't stand my partner. That's not really evolving spiritually.
No. Mm-mm.
Right? So that means that there's more work for you to do. If you can't stand your partner, then go back inside. Do the work. When you feel like you accept them as they are, come to them, they're going to join you in the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my husband and I were just talking about this. He was reading something political, of course. And I was like, well, you know, when you're pointing the finger at somebody else, there's three fingers pointing right back at you.
That's right.
And you hear that all the time in politics. And we're not going to get into that, but it was just that happens so often, but it's true in every single situation that anytime you're pointing the finger at somebody else, you're like, you know, and you're placing blame, you got to look back at yourself for sure.
Women are very powerful, and we do have the power to, in a good way, allure a man, you know, not to force a man, but to attract that desire in a man to want to better themselves for you. But that can only come from a place of compassion and acceptance and saying, I see you, I love you as you are, but then it's time for you to take a look at yourself as well and see what is the work that you need to do so our connection stays stronger or even goes deeper.
Yeah.
But timing is critical, because many times what happens is that women start their journey of personal development, right? And they expect their spouse to join right away. And that's truly the issue. We come from a place of expectation. We are not really alluring that person to come to us.
You brought up so many great, great points. And I was also thinking part of the issue, what I think, is that especially if you meet somebody and you're very young, you know, as an example, I met my ex-husband when I was 21. He was 4 years older than me. We got married when I was just before I turned 25. And then we're married for 21 years. There's a lot of changes that take place, whether you're male or female, between the ages of 21, fast forward 25 years, because we were together a full 25 years, 25 years in the future, we change so much. I am not the same person I was when we met on so many different levels, right? People who, you know, from high school or whatever, they know, I'm like, I am not that person. Like, I am so much different than I was in high school or, you know, in my 20s, 30s, 40s. I'm now finishing up my 50s, and I'm going to be a different person when I'm in my 60s than I was in my 50s. And we change so often. I fully believe that, you know, you can't change another person. All you can do is change yourself. But at what point do you call uncle?
I don't think there's a recipe at what point. I think that the what point is when you feel that you are so at peace because you've done your part.
You've done what you can do.
You went all the way through, and now it becomes very clear. I was asked that question last week when I did a masterclass on how to stay connected with your partner. I was asked, when is it the right time to leave? I said, when you don't doubt it.
Right.
If you are doubting it, it means you still have work to do. When you are sure, that's the right time. And normally you're sure when you know you've done everything and you have zero regrets, but you also come to peace with the, you know, you realize this is not the partner I'm going to grow older with.
Yeah.
And you know, you pointed that I started dating my husband when I was 21. We got married just before I turned 24. We dated 3 years. We have changed, obviously. Clearly, we have changed a lot. Thank God, because otherwise, how do you grow, right? But that's where connection is. That's why connection is so important. We always stay connected. And yes, we'll go through seasons like any other couple. Some seasons we feel a complete union, and sometimes we feel less, but that's okay. That's part of that natural rhythm of a relationship. But we always stay connected, and we stay connected not because we're special. We stay connected because we apply the right rituals or the right practices. You know, I was reflecting on that actually. You know, I don't want to say I'm obsessed with this, but I reflect on marriage a lot. Mm-hmm. The more I work with couples, it makes I reflect you know, on them and what brought them to that stage. And I was thinking about this. Probably marriage is the aspect of an adult life that is more personal. Like, you never know what's happening inside the bedroom, right? I don't know if your grandma used to say, my grandma used to say, you never know what happens inside the bedroom. You can't judge a couple.
Right.
It's very personal. It's also very cultural. Every culture has their own framework or set of rules. And yet, despite that, there are certain practices, we can call them best practices when it comes to doing marriage. There are certain things that it's a very clear that is a no-no, and certain practices that, okay, this must be in every marriage in order to keep the connection and the relationship thriving. Why? Why do these practices, you know, override any culture or any private preference? Because they connect to the nature of the human need for connection. Mm-hmm. So I think that my husband and I always stay connected, not because our love was stronger than any other couple, but because we did those best practices. We committed and invested even on days we didn't feel like it.
So what are some ways to connect with your partner?
I love the practice of rituals, especially mm-hmm. in today's world that it's so fast-paced and we are so busy and so connected to everybody else, right? So easy to connect to the world with your phone. So the presence of rituals on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, maybe monthly, annually, the presence of these rituals send a very clear message. This is sacred. This is important. This has meaning for me. Therefore, I'm going to pause everything else and do this right now. So you also have rituals for your family. Like we have movie night mm-hmm. once a month with the children. And it's, you know, it's the food and the picking the movie. This is a ritual. We eat supper every day. That's a daily ritual. We have once a week also a special supper. So these are rituals that whether I'm tired or not, I feel like cooking or not, we keep them because they keep the family together. So the same I have with my husband. I have daily rituals. We have a morning cuddle or hug the moment we wake up. And if one of us woke up earlier, meaning my husband, that doesn't happen to me because I'm not a morning person. Then as soon as we meet, whether it's in the kitchen or the corridor, we will hug each other. So the morning cuddle is powerful. It sounds simple, but it's powerful because you are engaging all your senses. When you turn to your partner in bed and you cuddle, and I'm not talking sexually. You just cuddle.
Just cuddle.
You mm-hmm. you can, of course, you're engaging your touch, right? You can feel their skin, their smell, mm-hmm. right? The heat of their body. So that really works on your nervous system and makes you feel like you are in this together. No matter what this is, whether you are going through a hard time or this life, you're walking through life together as a team. So morning cuddle is a ritual we keep. Kiss goodbye and greeting. When the person comes home, we go greet the person. I do that with my children too. Mm-hmm. I go to the door to greet the person. Nobody walks into the home and goes, anybody home? No, we don't do that. If somebody's home, I wouldn't say my kids do that, but we do that. We actually go and greet the person at the door. How was your day? And we kiss. My husband and I kiss every morning when one of us leaves the home and when we come back. So these are daily rituals.
I love it.
Right? Then you also have rituals of communication, like having even a 15-minute chat every day. How was your day? What's up? What happened today? Then on a weekly basis, a great way to stay connected is to spend quality time once a week, 90 minutes together, whether you go out on a weekly date or you go to the gym together, something that you are connecting and not talking about the children, talking about the two of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my husband and I have date night once a week. And it's supposed to be tonight, but I have a business meeting, which is very unusual. He goes, but that's our date night. I'm like, we'll just do it another night. But for me, and I think it, and let me pose this more of a question. I feel like everyone's needs obviously are going to be different and everybody has certain things that they connect with me. For me, like I need a hug. Mm-hmm. I need that hug. Hugs are so important. I mean, they say we need 8 hugs a day. I mean, I'm lucky if I get 4, you know, so I'll pick up my dog and I hug my dog because that's a hug too, right? But since COVID, you know, we've been home. We've been home together now for almost 5 years, 24/7, 5 years we've been together. And he's not going back to the office. I work from home anyway, but he's not going back. And so we're home, we're together all the time. And it was really tricky at first because we had to learn how to be together all the time. You know, and we moved a couple of years ago, so now my office is on a different floor. So that kind of gives us some separation too. But how do you decipher that with your clients? Because everybody's like, some people aren't huggers, right? I mean, you want to hug your partner, but not everybody is that touchy-feely. Like, I'm very touchy-feely and I need that touch. That's what I need. And my husband's the same way. So we're good there. What do you do with other couples when there is that little bit of a disconnect where they don't, you know, have those same needs as the other partner does? And, you know, it takes some being selfless, right? To make sure that you're supporting what they need and vice versa.
Yeah. And you want to be aware of the love language and do your best to love them the way they feel loved. Absolutely. So my primary love language is act of service. And my husband is extremely aware of that. You know, on the weekend, we had a visitor and I kept telling him Saturday morning, I need you to help me make their bed. Just put sheets on the guest room. And after a few hours, I asked him again. I said, you know, I need you to help me make my friend's bed. And he goes, no. It's not like him.
Excuse me?
So I said, why not? I was surprised. He would normally don't answer that. So I said, why not? He says, I already did it.
It's done.
That's it. I feel as loved as someone can feel in those moments, on those small acts of service, for me are the best. But I have to tell you that the morning cuddle, it's very universal. Even if somebody has as a last love language, physical touch.
Okay.
I find that when people have a lot of resistance to that, it's simply because we're protecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. Or we haven't done it in such a long time that it feels we have to cross a big mountain to get there. But the bigger the resistance to do something, the bigger the reward on the other side. Resistance is an amazing sign that says this is exactly what you are supposed to overcome right now, because on the other side, you're going to experience so much reward. So I think that a morning cuddle is pretty I will put it under those best practices that is very universal, because every human being needs to be touched.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
And again, you might not want to hug during the day, right? But that morning cuddle it's very important.
Mm.
And normally when people don't want to hug, it's really a coping mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It totally makes sense. So I heard a study once that women live longer as long as they have girlfriends, and men live longer if they're married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that? Do you have any insight into that? I mean, I know I need my girlfriend time, and I can't go more than 2 weeks without doing like a girl's night out, because I just need that connection, you know?
But yeah. I think that behind this is, as you said, the need for connection. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's easy for women to give up connecting deeper with their husbands because it is, you know, it's work. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. We're very different. That's what people need to understand, that men and women are so different that connecting to that person that is so different, that thinks differently, that processes information differently than you, not because they're another person, that to begin with, because they're a different gender, let's say, or cats and dogs.
Mars and Venus, cats and dogs. We're
so
totally different.
Connecting to somebody that is so different is difficult. Point. Right? But when you get married, that's the biggest challenge. And that's why it gives you the biggest reward. So I think that women many times give up on that connection simply because they have the second option, which is girlfriends. Men are less likely to connect that way with another, with a friend. They're less social. They are not as social as we are, right? We're very expressive. We can feel, we can be ourselves. So, oh, this is easy. To connecting with my girlfriends is easy. We understand each other. So it's beautiful to have girlfriends. Don't get me wrong. Actually, the guest that I had on the weekend was my best friend came to visit from Toronto. So, and she came just to hang out with me. So it's beautiful to have that, but you don't want to channel all that energy there. You still want to never give up on the quest to connect deeper with your spouse. And don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect it to be like it is with your girlfriends. It's not meant to be. That's a challenge that we were giving as humans. It's not meant to be easy. Being a husband and a wife is difficult because men and women don't get along. They're very different. But when you become a husband and a wife, now you kind of want to say, it's not about being men and women anymore. It's about this person that I'm supposed to become a unity with.
Yeah.
And taking on that challenge with grace, with love, and commitment. The more you commit, the more the love gets rekindled. Mm. And commitment means you keep doing what you need to do and your rituals, even on the days that you don't really want to look at your partner's eyes. Which, of course, are going to be days like that.
Yeah, it's about being a team, really. And that's for me, it being in my second marriage, that's the most beautiful thing about it, is I really do feel supported as a partner and not a wife. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, like I feel like we're a partner. So that brings me to my last question. And you have this on your one page, which is beautiful, by the way. And you have some questions there. And I normally don't read the suggested questions, but I really like this one because it kind of piqued my interest. What does it mean to treat your relationship like a business partnership? And how does that strengthen the bond?
Oh, great question. So that happened to the third pillar of legendary marriage, which is the our pillar. So the first one is the me.
The
second is the you. The third is the our, which is that partnership we are talking about. And the fourth is the us, which is the unity, the intimacy. So going back to your question, the third, you want to look at your relationship as two business partners who have a common vision, a shared vision. That's important. We might have different roles and responsibilities, but we're two shareholders in this business. And we are both responsible, first of all, to bring the business to that common vision, as well as to take care of our assets, our finances, our home, our dreams, our aspirations, our children. So when you look at it that way, then every decision along the way becomes easier because you are going to filter your decisions based on where we want to go, and we do have that common vision. If we don't have a common vision, if I have no clue what my husband's dreams and aspirations are, then if we don't manage our finances together, then we are not going to feel as a unity. So the way to create that partnership effect is working with the three C's. The one that you started the podcast with, communication.
Mm-hmm. Right? Excuse me. Go ahead. I had something in my eye. It's like,
okay. No, I'm just thinking within you. Communication, coordination, and collaboration.
Mm.
So we're very good at that, right?
Yes.
When I see that, and yes, you want to have a weekly meeting to plan your week. And yes, you want to communicate, but you also want to communicate on demand. So I'm very good at, I'll give you an example of that, at coming to my husband saying, look, the next 2 weeks are crazy for me. We need to sit, we need to plan the meals, we need to plan the schedules with the kids. And I want to tell you how you can best support me during these 2 weeks. Because if we don't do this together, I fear I'm going to collapse. This is not going to end well. So it is my responsibility, the me, to actually communicate what is that I need from you and not just expect for you to get it. So then we can work as a team. Because otherwise, I'll get disappointed. I'll start developing resentment. That resentment will actually erode our bond of trust. And you know what happens next.
So. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I have an idea for your next book, because this is where I am in my life.
Go ahead. I kind of have a title of the next book, but tell me.
I'm totally joking here, Gabriella. I'm totally joking.
No, I don't believe it. You know, I believe everything has a reason.
So how do you go from this power couple into the aging power couple when you have things like memory issues?
I can't write about that yet.
Like, right? Because that's kind of where most of the disagreements that occur in my household are because I've told him things and he doesn't remember.
Oh, but that, okay, you can blame age, but I just started my 50s. I can tell you this has not much to do with age. It very much has to do with men and women. The difference between how their brain works and our brain works. First of all, we remember everything because women are wired for justice.
Oh, I remember everything. Oh my
gosh.
That's
right. We remember everything because we use the past to balance things and create justice. So I need to remember who I fed out of all my children to make sure that everybody gets their meal. So there's justice, right? So
that makes sense.
Simple example. But yes, we are always looking for justice as women. That's why we remember everything. Men, when they say, I don't remember, they truly don't remember. So I don't even take it personally. We just implement the right tools. So write it. Look, when I talk to him is, can I have your attention for a moment? Can you look at, we laugh about this. Can I have your attention? Can you look at me?
I have to just put the phone down.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. And then I will say, and then I say, can you repeat what I ask?
I've done that as well. I have done that as well.
Or just can you write that down? Or can you, let me send you a WhatsApp message. And when we work on the business together, because he supports the back end of my business too, we work with checklists, right? And saying, okay, today, after supper, we need to sit and see what else needs to be done.
Yeah.
So really, it's a question of implementing the right tools for them to remember because their brain works differently.
Mm, interesting.
Rather than the idea is not to take it personally.
Right, of course. Of course. And that sometimes is easier said than done, as we all know, because of the way we process things and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, yeah, as you know, my husband is 8 years older than I am. And so, you know, I can see the memory issues starting.
Yeah, age will contribute to that.
But I see it in myself as well. Like I remember, like I'm an observer and I can walk in the room and I pick up I'd be the perfect spy. Not that I would want to be, but because I can just sit back and I can read the room like nobody's business. But there are things like, I couldn't tell you what I had for dinner last night. I don't remember. You know, stuff like that. Like meaning, you know, little things. And some of that I also believe is we're just inundated with so much information and that if it's not that important to you, you may not remember, recall it because you're just flooded with information. And
that's right. You know, men are mostly linear thinkers.
Right.
One step at a time. So if they are right now dealing with one thought, they might not see anything else. They have a very tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Most women are more systemic. As you said, I can scan everything and see all the connections. That's one thing. And men, this is so interesting. They can also go through those moments when you ask them, what are you thinking? And they say nothing. They actually mean it. They can actually empty their mind and be thinking about nothing. And women, it's very rare they'll do that. They wish they could. I wish, right?
Woo.
Sometimes my 23 daughter and I, we laugh at it. When I ask my husband, what are you thinking about? Nothing. I believe you. I know you can. I can't.
Is it nothing or is it just something you don't want to talk about? Who knows?
He actually said we have that ability to empty our mind. It's incredible.
Hmm.
It's like you empty all your emails. That's it. going to the trash. I don't think women wow. have that ability so much.
Well, especially as you become a mother, and whether you're a mom to, you know, biological children, adopted children, or your fur babies, like it doesn't matter, right?
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Like once you become a mom in any way, shape, or form, when you're taking care of something, that maternal instinct kicks in. That's in our DNA. And like, even though my son moved out, I still think about him every day.
Yeah.
Multiple times during the day. He's going through my mind, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
We're very different.
We are.
And that's why the challenge connecting. And the beauty in that and the reward in that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. My goodness, Gabriella, this has been such an amazing conversation and I love everything that you're doing. Is there anything else that you want to throw out before we finish up today?
I just want to say that it's possible to be happily married over time and not just coast by, you know, say, yeah, Mary, I'm good. No, to be truly grateful and joyful. And feel like how, you know, you got so lucky, but it requires work.
Yeah.
It's not luck, it's work. Well, a little bit of luck too, but a lot of work.
Yeah. I like to call it a practice more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, you got to just practice it. Like I say it all the time, happiness is a choice, but happiness is a practice. You know, we have to practice it. And sometimes that's, you know, the communication, practicing better ways to communicate with your partner, practicing that connection, the touch, the rituals. I love everything that you said. So important. And I have noticed that since we started doing date night a while ago, like it's just better. It's something to look forward to.
Absolutely. And people think, oh, date night is overrated. No.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. It's so necessary. So necessary.
And like sometimes we only be out for an hour and a half. I mean, we'll go, you know, we may have some champagne and have dinner and listen to, we always go to this one restaurant that has live music every Wednesday night. It's live acoustic and it's just kind of like our neighborhood place that we go to. And it's usually only an hour and a half and that's perfect, you know, and it's just that time for us.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Love Very it. Important.
All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening. And I will be sure to have all of Gabrielle's information in the show notes. Pick up her book, Becoming a Power Couple. Sounds amazing. And the subtitle to her book is Four Pillars to Engineer Legendary Marriages. Love that title.
So I just want to offer, if people want to read the prologue of the book, they can go to becomingapowercouple.net and just download the prologue for free.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Gabriella.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you for having
and
me.
Absolutely. And for the audience, thank you so much for listening. And if you like this, please like, share, and subscribe. And thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and lots of connection with your partner. Take care, everyone.